I'd like to call the regular meeting of council of January 25th to order at 7:02 p.m. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You can come forward and sit up here if you'd like. There's other chairs. Vicki, we call the roll, please.
Councilwoman Pat Grebbins. Councilman Christopher Hollum.
Present.
Councilwoman Janet R. Micah.
Present.
Councilwoman Laura Pismo.
Present.
Vice President John Pleshnik.
Present.
President Nancy E. Fellows.
Present.
And Councilman David M. Fiebig.
Present.
Council members, I would ask if you will amend the agenda to accept Councilwoman Pat Grebbins' resignation. I have before me a letter dated January 25th. Dear Mayor Wager and City Council, I would like to inform you that I'm resigning my position as Council at Large 4 of Willoughby Hills for personal reasons. Please consider this effective immediately, and I thank you for the opportunity to serve. Best regards, Pat Grebbins.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilman Fiebig to accept the resignation of, amend the agenda to accept the resignation of Councilwoman Pat Grebbins. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Vicki?
Hollum.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
The motion to amend the agenda to accept Pat's resignation has passed.
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
Motion to accept Councilwoman Pat Grebbins' resignation.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilman Fiebig to accept the resignation of Councilwoman Pat Grebbins. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none. Vicki?
Hollum.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
It is with sadness that we accept her resignation. Next, I would look for a motion to amend the agenda to set aside the mayor's vetoes on ordinances 2018-1 and 2018-2.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilman Fiebig to amend the agenda to set aside the mayor's vetoes on ordinances 2018-1 and 2018-2. Is there any discussion on the motion? Vicki?
Hollum.
No.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
The agenda has been amended to accept a motion to set aside the mayor's vetoes on ordinances 2018-1 and 2018-2.
Madam President.
Councilman Fiebig.
Move the council set aside the veto of ordinance 2018-1.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Fiebig and a second from Vice President Pleshnik to set aside the veto on ordinance 2018-1. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, I'm just wondering if what Mr. Byron said last meeting, what might be the better selection, just to remove that section and follow state law.
Any discussion on that?
Madam President, I think that it's pressing that this ordinance go into law now, given that we have one former employee asking to be indemnified for his own malpractice and another employee asking us to pay for two criminal defense attorneys who specialize in public corruption and federal crimes. I don't want any of our taxpayer dollars to be directed towards defending criminal cases or malpractice actions. We've discussed how expensive legal services are, and while we need to expend funds to defend the city, we shouldn't be defending people who are worried about their own misconduct that's of a criminal nature. We want to protect our employees who are acting in the course and scope of their duty, but we do not want to defend employees who step outside that course and scope and behave criminally. And I think it's important to clarify that in our ordinance so that no taxpayer dollars are misspent as such.
Madam President, just for purposes of clarification, because of the question that was answered, and just because of my own questions, not having a law background, I wonder if Mr. Byron, if you could explain in layman's terms, like what exactly are the differences between what we had before and what we're talking about passing right now?
Sure. The city has had an indemnification ordinance for longer than the provisions of state law required it. And when it was written, there weren't the exclusions placed in there. I've heard the expression that some things shouldn't have to be written down. It's true. Lawyers insist upon certain things being written down, and these are some of them. It would be a policy choice to repeal the ordinance in its entirety and just rely on the state law for indemnification purposes. I can remember one instance where Mort O'Ryan was elected by a very, very narrow margin, and there was an election contest that went to court, and the city looked at this ordinance and said he was entitled to indemnification because he did not do any action. The Board of Elections counted the votes, and he raised his right hand and took the oath of office, and that's what put him in a position to be sued. And so that would be a broader context for indemnification than the state code would provide. He got, because he took an action as an official of the city, he received indemnification from the city. So your ordinance is a little bit broader and provides a little more protection than state code would otherwise. But it's your policy choice. You could repeal and just match up with state code. It's council's choice.
Any further discussion?
Madam President,
on the
and I believe that highlights it pretty well, is that, you know, a local municipality has home rule. They have the opportunity to state what their best values, best practices are, and that is what we're doing. Of course, everything defaults to state law, but what we're doing is we're saying emphatically and very positively that this is what we're trying to do. This is the ideal that we're holding ourselves up to. And so that, for that matter, I think it is appropriate, and I will support this.
Madam President, I just have one other question for Mr. Byron. Mr. Plechnik had spoken about some indemnification from some current or past employees, and I guess my question is, how will this affect, I mean, what part does this play? Because new law, does it apply to past things?
The two situations that I'm aware of, the request for indemnification are premature. Our ordinance requires that there be delivery of a written request for defense and indemnification along with the notice of suit, usually complaint, or maybe, I suppose, if it were a criminal action, indictment. Neither of those things have come about. The one I'm familiar with, there is an investigation that will be conducted regarding whether or not there was legal malpractice. No determination has been made to file an action in that situation. We must first do the investigation to determine whether or not the standard of conduct was not properly met. So a change in the ordinance now would take away an argument at some later date if somebody sought indemnification at a time where they were actually entitled to it under the ordinance. And so that's why the change would be made now.
So let me make sure I understand. So if, I don't know, I don't have a situation, but if somebody 3 years ago, suddenly we decided that that might not, what they did wasn't correct. Would that, since that happened in the past, which would apply, the new law or the old law?
Well, the city's obligation to pay funds to someone is not something that it's required to do at any certain time. The current request that's in front of the city doesn't meet the current standard. So there's no obligation on the part of the city to pay funds at this point in time. What they're doing is making a change to the code so that in the future only certain conduct would be entitled somebody to indemnification. If somebody is responding to an emergency condition and has an auto accident with an emergency vehicle, of course that'll be covered. But if someone engages in any of the activities that are listed as an exclusion, those aren't going to be covered. And this just clarifies that.
Thank you.
Madam President, Mr. Byron, so is it safe to say that the 2018-1 is essentially just a more clear, more a defined indemnification ordinance than the old Section 111? It's almost the same. It's just a little bit more clear on what is covered and what is not covered by the indemnification policy.
I would say that the exclusions that are proposed in the revised ordinance are consistent with the exclusions that exist in state law. They're not all. I saw the mayor's veto referenced one specific section of the Ohio Revised Code. That's not the only source of exclusions. There's another section, 2744.03, which also contains some of these exclusions. So, although the mayor has the authority to veto an ordinance for any reason or no reason, his legal analysis, I don't believe, is correct.
There's a motion on the table. Vicki, you call the roll.
Hallam.
No.
Micah.
Yes.
Eastmo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Habig.
Yes.
The motion to override the veto on Ordinance 2018-1 has passed.
Madam President.
Councilman Phoebe.
Make a motion to override the veto of, I'm sorry, to set aside the veto of Ordinance 2018-2.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Fiebig and a second from Councilwoman Pismo to set aside the veto on Ordinance 2018-2. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President.
Councilman Hallam.
I seem to recall when the initial Ordinance 70 was passed, that part of the reasoning behind the amount of money we were willing to pay was because we were getting all of Walter Haverfield as in addition to Mr. Byron, because they have extensive municipal experience. And now this new law firm that Mr. Byron is now working for, I don't get a sense that they are as experienced as Walter Haverfield. And so I'm just wondering, you know, are we, you know, the fact that we're paying the same but not seemingly getting the same people that with the same experience other than Mr. Byron, I would exclude from that, but the wealth and breadth of knowledge that we had with Walter Haverfield, we no longer have.
Any other comments? Vicki?
Hallam.
No.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Phoebig.
Yes.
The motion to set aside the veto on 2018-2 has passed.
Thank you.
The next order of business is the disposition of the journal for the minutes of the organizational and special meeting of council held on January 8, 2018.
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
In making my motion to adopt the minutes of the organizational and special meeting of council held on January 8, 2018, may I congratulate you on being unanimously reelected to a second term as our council president.
Thank
Moved.
You. Thank you.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilwoman Pismo to adopt the minutes of the organizational special meeting of council held on January 8, 2018. Any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, just for the residents that perhaps asked me about this that are reading along, and I welcome our residents to read along the minutes. The audio record is the official record, and that's available pretty much as soon as the meeting is over. Within about an hour, our clerk uploads that, and that is the official record of the meeting. These minutes are typed literally verbatim from those minutes, and it does sometimes take up to a couple of weeks to get those all done, depending on what other legislation has to be written. So our clerk's doing a fantastic job with keeping up with that, but it certainly does take a little bit of time. So we ask for your patience on that, and of course, remember that audio is available on the website, you know, almost immediately.
Thank you. Vicki?
Hallam.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Plushnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Bebig.
Yes.
The minutes of the organizational special meeting of council held on January 8th have been adopted. The next order of business is the law director's report. Mr. Byron.
No report.
Are there any questions for Mr. Byron this evening?
Mr. Byron, I would ask if, for the benefit of council and the public, you could discuss the lawsuit of Loby versus Willoughby Hills.
Yes. The lawsuit requests certain non-economic, non-monetary damages, a declaration that former law director is entitled to indemnification pursuant to the city's ordinances, and that I'm not the law director of the city of Willoughby Hills, or the acting law director, that ordinance is not valid, raising the same issues that the mayor had raised in his lawsuit. I spoke with the insurance defense counsel, who is handling the mayor's lawsuit, and he had indicated that he would be transmitting the information to the insurance company, PEP, the public entities pool of Ohio that provides the coverage to the city, and that it would be likely that the his firm would pick up the defense of this suit as well, and would likely seek to consolidate those two cases because they share many common issues.
And Mr. Byron, just to follow up, was I correct in reading the complaint, which was served to counsel, that Mr. Loby actually names Attorney General Mike DeWine as a defendant in the suit?
He is listed in the caption, yes.
Would it be possible for counsel to pass a resolution apologizing on behalf of the city of Willoughby Hills that he was named as a defendant? Because I don't want our attorney general to take the misimpression that our city in any way impugns his honor or wishes for him to be sued in court. I find it unfortunate that a resident of our city would involve Attorney General Mike DeWine in his own lawsuit. Could we pass a resolution apologizing to Attorney General DeWine?
Council has the authority to enact senses of counsel on any lawful issue.
So you would say it would be lawful for council to pass a resolution to give an apology on behalf of the city for this conduct?
Yes.
Thank you.
Madam President.
Councilman Helm.
Mr. Byron.
Yep.
Could I ask, why would he name the Attorney General?
If there is an assertion that a state statute is unconstitutional, I know you have to name the Attorney General. It wasn't clear to me from reading the complaint the reason why the office of the Attorney General was named.
Okay. Thank you.
Madam President, there's sometimes when you get a court reporter or person in the, say, the media, and the News Herald in particular, that reports of action in the court, and they didn't have an opportunity to speak with either you nor the council president, Mr. Byron. So she simply listed some of the things that were claimed in the lawsuit, in the action that Mr. Loby sued his own city. So I don't want people to get the impression that those are facts. For example, it was cited that our current acting law directors paid four times the amount of the yearly salary of the former law director. That's just simply not true. And there were some other things in there that are speculation, that are his claim. And I'm sure that I don't think it'd be talking out of turn to say that there's going to be a counterclaim to all these, which denies many of these things and also has a counterclaim to those things. So that's unfortunate when you have media and they just pick up on certain things. You know, it's not fake news, but it's not completely the whole picture. So just wanted to clear that up.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Byron. The next is the Finance Director's Report. Mr. Berkachuk.
I have nothing to report tonight.
Thank you, Frank. Are there any additional questions for the Finance Director this evening?
Madam President, Frank, how's the budget coming along?
It's coming along.
All right. We talked about February 1st.
We're still on target for that.
We're still on target?
Yeah, not February 1st, very close to February 1st.
What do you think your method of distribution of that would be? Will you just ask us to come in and pick up a copy of it? Or
I'll give copies to the clerk.
Copies of the clerk? Okay. All right, good.
Just as the same way as we've done in the past.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to reading that. And if there's any questions or anything that we can do to help prepare that, because I know the mayor's been out of town, so if there's anything we can do, please don't reach out. Don't hesitate to reach out.
Yes.
Mr. Berkachuk, what amount of money were we paying Mr. Lobey for his retainer on a monthly basis?
Tom Lobey's retainer was $2,600 a month, going from memory now, $2,600 a month, and
Mr. Byron's is?
Mr. Byron's is $10,000 a month.
Okay. Thank you.
Madam President, was Mr. Lobey only paid a retainer, or was he also paid billable hours?
He was paid billable hours as well.
Thank you.
And he was paid at a rate of $95 a billable hour. The agreement calls to pay Mr. Byron at the rate of $250 a billable hour.
Thank you.
Madam President? Has Mr. Byron ever been paid billable hours?
Not yet.
Haven't paid anything.
In fact, has he ever been paid anything by the City of Willoughby Hills?
Not yet.
I think the point is made. Thank you.
But we will be issuing a check tomorrow for the invoices that have been submitted.
Finally.
Thank you. City Engineers Report, Mr. DeFranco.
Thank you, Madam President. Last week, we received an update from our bridge contractor on the Pleasant Valley Bridge. As of last week, the materials were ordered but had not arrived yet, so they anticipate starting work mid-February. And that completes my report.
Thank you, Peter. Any questions for Pete this evening? Okay, moving on, we have committee reports. This evening, we had a finance report. Vice President Pleasant, do you want to just touch base on it?
Absolutely. Madam President, I called the Finance Committee before our council meeting so that we could discuss, among other things, a purchase order to Firehouse Services and Consulting LLC. Councilman Fiebig, as a member of the Finance Committee, has taken the role of approving POs or expenditures over $2,000, which exceed the mayor's spending limit. And in his review, he wanted to pull this particular PO of $14,700 for all of our review. Unfortunately, the mayor was unable to join us to discuss why this PO was necessary because, as the finance director relayed, he was on vacation, is on vacation in Hawaii. But hopefully when the mayor returns, we'll be able to inquire as to what the nature of this PO is and whether it is in the best interests of the city. Councilwoman Peej Moe, as I opened up the discussion to other issues, raised concerns about a couple of purchase orders. In particular, she was worried about a PO for New Moon Risings, Inc., where a donation was made by the city for therapeutic gardening in the amount of $872. She also raised concerns about a PO to the Rivkin Law Firm. Our finance director said he wasn't familiar off the top of his head with those POs and would review them and get back to us. Councilman Fiebig had asked our finance director whether or not there had been additional payments made under the union contract. Our finance director answered not as of yet, but that they intended to adjust to the union contract that has actually was voted down by council, but was nonetheless signed by the mayor without authorization, which would give the 9% raises, tenure that we've all discussed, you know, many times. Council President Fellows raised the issue that she'd been informed by the executive assistant to the police chief that there are POs in the police department that haven't been paid. Councilman Fiebig expressed concern for late fees, and the finance director agreed that he would follow up on those issues. We opened public portion at 6:47 p.m. No one spoke, and so we closed the meeting at that time as well. I certainly stand open to questions.
Madam President. Mr. Finance Chair. You had a meeting on the 28th of December, and I've asked a couple times for the minutes. I know you had a lot, you told me. So I'm just wondering, are we close to being, because I really want to read the minutes for that meeting.
Well, I'm still working on.
There was a lot discussed, and I wish I could have been there, but I wasn't.
Thank you, Councilman Hallam. I'm still working on the minutes for that meeting, but as I shared with you at the last council meeting, the most important point of those minutes and the most important point of discussion is that in reflection of the election that happened and the word of the people, our goal as a council and our first priority is to put roads, police, and fire first, and that will require cutting substantial amounts of administrative overhead. But I will continue to work on the minutes as I always do.
Does that include combining our fire department with another city? Because that's only what I hear tell I have. And since I haven't seen the minutes, I'm just asking you if that's since I've.
Council President Fells had asked several questions of our acting fire chief, Tom Talcott, and some of the questions that came up were what synergies could be found by combining departments or working with other cities. She asked the question of what coordination we could have with Willoughby. I believe was also asked, I believe I asked him, whether or not we could have a dispatch center that worked with Lake County as a whole and whether there'd be any savings from that. But I don't believe there was a discussion of combining fire departments so much as the question of whether or not there were services or positions that could be combined with the Willoughby Fire District or Lake County as a whole. We had also asked Acting Fire Chief Tom Talcott about the budget. And his general response was that in his 6 months, he hadn't had time to review the fire department budget. And so there wasn't a lot of discussion on that point either. So that's the best recollection I have of that part of the meeting.
Thank you.
And Councilman Hallam, I did receive a follow-up email from Acting Fire Chief Tom Talcott after he'd had a discussion with the chief from Willoughby with some pertinent information about that not probably being a viable option. So it was just a question. It wasn't something.
Like I didn't wasn't unfortunately able to be at the meeting, and I haven't seen the minutes. So I just didn't want it to go on too long without asking the question. Thank you.
All right. So the next one is planning and zoning, and Councilwoman Grebbins was the chair for that committee. So council will need to address a chair representative, and then subsequently that representative becomes a voting member of the Planning and Zoning Commission. And this month, both meetings of the Planning and Zoning Commission have been canceled. The next one is...
Madam President?
Yes.
Since I'm the alternate member, I'll go ahead and cover the next meeting, though.
Okay.
So we certainly have somebody there. Okay?
Thank you. Then the next one is Recreation, and Councilman Hallam indicated that I don't think they've had a meeting since you've been on.
Nope. I think one's coming next week, maybe.
Do you have any committee members?
Well, it was Pat for one.
I'll serve with you.
Thank you.
And also, it's going to come up a little later here in legislation, but I'd like to put the legislation or the topic for the Memorandum of Understanding with the Boys League into the Recreation Committee, as we had done some years ago when that was created.
Okay. Thank you.
Do you need one more member, though?
All right. There are no other committee meetings except for the Working Committee of Council, which met this evening for a few minutes. And we discussed the discussion concerning communication practices in the city of Willoughby Hills, particularly focusing on the city newsletter and also some concerns around some of the actions of the mayor. And there was no one that came up for public portion. And we adjourned at 7 p.m. Are there any other council representative reports this evening?
Madam President, I want to report that the Communications Ad Hoc Committee, while we haven't met, I continue to do research and reach out to various vendors to find out what we can do to upgrade the video facility and the ability to have these meetings online. I have an online go-to meeting, if you know what that is, tomorrow morning with a company that does documents. They're called Director Point, and I also had one last week with another company because part of this was to integrate, for example, this pile of newspapers. If we all had a like what you're using, Mr. Hallam, you know, at our tables here, and the planning and zoning also had that, and perhaps if we had a video monitor up here where people who are watching this could also see what we're looking at, and residents who wanted to do a garage update, for example, they could just submit that. Perhaps we'd even have a camera that would look at a piece of paper like that and get it up where we can see that. And these meetings would then be available online so you could watch it, you know, at midnight or 6 a.m. whenever you would like to, you know, or to go to sleep at night. But so that continues. I hope to eventually bring somebody into the facilities here, and we'll take a look. In fact, I was hoping to even do it tomorrow if possible. But it does continue, and I know we'll have a meeting when we're getting to the point where we're talking about appropriations and the money. I think that's the next step, because we were in our initial meeting, I think we were all in agreement that that's what we need to do, and, you know, we're just getting there. It's just going to take a little bit of time and a little bit of work, but we're making progress on it. Just wanted to report. Thank you.
Councilman Fiebig?
Yes, sir.
I saw Wycliffe.
Yes.
I think they got a resident that's doing it for them for free that has the technology and everything. I don't know if that's a temporary free or what that is, but
I saw that as well, and I called three times, and I got no answer. So I kind of gave up on that because, you know, part of the thing is if you'd want to be able to call someone and they're going to pick up the phone. So
you called whoever the company was?
The company. I tracked it down, found out who that was. They say that it's a Wycliffe number, but the phone number was like out in Berea or Parma or something. But so I did follow up on that.
No, I just thought from the perspective of if we have somebody that lives in our city that might be able to or willing to do something like that, that might be a good option potentially.
Well, I'm saying right here and now, if there's anybody who's listening who would like to help with that end of things, that can offer some expertise, that would like to help facilitate this, I'm open to that. And certainly those services being volunteered or at a reduced rate because you're a resident, absolutely. We're definitely looking at that.
Thank you. Okay, our next order of business will be public portion. This is an opportunity for individuals to come forth to share their opinions. We ask if you come forward that you state your name and your address and keep your comments to 3 minutes. I will open public portion at 7:34 p.m.
Good evening. My name is John Prewer. I live at 8946 Trailwood Court in Mentor. And I'm coming before you as a past president of the Lake County Fire Chiefs and the senior chief of those assembled here this evening. The association has prepared a letter for council, and with your indulgence, I would like to read that letter to you. Dear Council President Fellows and members of Council, the Lake County Fire Chiefs Association is here tonight to recognize and honor the 43 years of dedicated service of Acting Chief Thomas Talcott to the City of Willoughby Hills. Chief Talcott is a devoted member of the City of Willoughby Hills Fire Department. He is highly respected by his peers and has committed himself to promote the safety and well-being of firefighters of all of Lake County. Within the Lake County Fire Chiefs Association, Chief Talcott is the treasurer of the organization, chair of the Mutual Aid Box Alarm Committee, chair of the Local Emergency Planning Commission, and a past president of the association. Chief Talcott is also an active member of the Ohio Fire Chiefs Association He currently manages the written testing program that develops and administers entry-level examinations and promotional tests for fire departments across Ohio. As you can imagine, Tom has seen a lot of changes to the fire service that have affected the city of Willoughby Hills over his 43-year career. Tom has provided unwavering leadership and dedication to your department to address those changes and bring stability to the organization in times of uncertainty. Chief Talcott has been able to remain the voice of reason with a calming demeanor necessary to reorganize and operate the Willoughby Hills Fire Department in a safe and efficient manner. Over the past 6 months as acting chief, he has restored confidence to your department and has bolstered the relationships with neighboring fire chiefs and their departments. These relationships are essential to managing emergencies. Most recently, Chief Talcott was the incident commander of an active shooter event in your community. The preparedness of the department and his strong relationships with his neighbors brought that incident under control in a quick and efficient manner. The Lake County Fire Chiefs wanted to be here tonight to show our appreciation and our admiration to Tom Talcott for what he means to each of us and our organizations. We are grateful for his senior leadership and are indebted to him for his contributions he has made to make the Lake County Fire Service what it is today. Thank you for your cooperation and allowing us to speak this evening.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Don't do it now. Anyone else for public portion? Doris?
Doris Dodge, 37881 Milan Drive. I just have a question. What groups are now being permitted to use the Grange? Are there any groups using it? Because I've still seen collections of cars up there on occasion, and I don't know if this is something that should be going on. I want to know who's using it. The second thing I wanted to know is, with all the speed bumps on Route 6, could this be damaging to our snowplows when they're trying to plow? Do they have to set the blades up higher like you would a lawnmower? Because I find when I'm going to work in the morning that we have like a path, but as soon as I hit the county line going to Mayfield, it's down to bare pavement. So I'm just wondering if this could be damaging our plows with all the ruts and bumps that we have in our roads.
Thank you. Is it Mark Tyler or Mike Tyler?
It's Mike Tyler. I answer to anything, pretty much. Madam Council President, it's as of January 1st, it's been my sixth year asking for Route 6 to be taken care of between 174 and Worrell Road. And I hope that I've been in contact with our city wonderful, absolutely ecstatic engineer that our city engineer that we have. He's great, and I would hope that there would be some report from that. So, thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Joyce.
Thank you while I make adjustments.
It's okay.
Joyce Grady, 3020 Markham Boulevard. I could not possibly meet the eloquence of the first gentleman. I see that you are planning on hiring Rich Harmon, who has retired. And I, as a retired personnel, get very tired of seeing someone retire and then they're hired back in for more money when you have a able-bodied candidate ready to step in as your fire chief. And I really think you, five of you, should really consider what you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Joyce. Linda?
Linda Fulton, 2990 Markham. I know I harp on this all the time, but the mics. What's happening is when you turn your head to the left or to the right, the microphones do not pick up your voice. Just be aware of that so that when you are speaking into the mic and you go like this, nobody hears you but the people up here. And I think maybe the mics need to be tweaked. They haven't been for many, many years, so that's something that you might want to work on. The other thing I want to bring up is, and it's maybe Mr. DeFranco could answer this, but I see a lot of cable lines that are up like this and hanging down. And is there anything that the city can do to get the cable companies out to fix their cable lines? They're not, you know, they're instead of up on the lines, they're just hanging. The other thing is, I read in the News Herald about the lawsuits that are going on, and one of the paragraphs in there stated that Councilwoman Fellows was mentioned as acting mayor, and I would like to have that clarified because I did not know at any time there was that she was acting as the acting mayor. And as far as the mayor going on vacation, absolutely, he has every right to go on vacation. But it would be beneficial to the city that the city knows who's running the city. And if anything happened, and if they, if department heads knew ahead of time, and if they needed something signed by the mayor or anything, that it could be taken care of if the communication was out there. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Anyone else this evening for public portion? Seeing none, I'll call public portion closed at 7:44 p.m. All right. So a couple comments. Doris, I have no idea who's permitted to use the Grange. I guess we would need to ask the mayor when he returns. Concerning the speed bumps and plow damage, often Mr. Grubus is here. He's not this evening, so I'll make sure he gets that message as well. Mike, I mean, there's been numerous messages to the mayor. City engineer knows about the status of Route 6. And Linda, yes, possibly we could look at replacing our mics. They haven't been replaced for an awful long time. I don't know about cable lines, Pete.
I would just call the cable company. They're private lines. I know I've called the electric company in the past. Lines were hanging near my house, and they came out and took a look at it. So, you know, you're welcome to call cable, electric, phone companies.
Madam President, if I could add, Linda, if you told me where approximately, I think you're talking about Chardon Road, and I have seen some activity there, and I'll be glad to make that call and see if I can find out. The lower hanging ones are utilities. The upper ones are electric company. So we'll take a look at that. Can I address the snow plow issue?
Yes.
That the plows are mounted in as such a way, and Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, that they do float over those bumps, so they're not going to be damaged. Exactly. So, you know, I think we're okay on that, but that doesn't help with the question of should we fix the bumps? And, Pete, you did mention that we did have some conversations with, was it ODOT?
Yes. And
regarding them. Go ahead and elaborate.
Sure. Actually, Mr. Tyler has done a lot of the legwork himself. He's contacted ODOT. I've contacted ODOT several years ago, and they rate all the state routes. And this section of Chardon is, on their scale, is actually rated pretty good. Through Mr. Tyler's work, they are coming back out in April to re-rate it.
That's correct.
So for state routes, ODOT has a program where they will pay 80% if it meets their rating threshold, which it's not there yet. If the city chooses to make the repairs themselves, you know, you can pay for it yourselves, but you would not get that 80%.
And finally, regarding the Grange, we did pass an ordinance that specifically only allowed the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts to use the Grange, and that the key needed to be checked out and signed out over in dispatch. So that is in place. We could follow up with dispatch and find out, you know, is there a list of, you know, who has been using it, and we could report that back to you. That's a public record.
And I would hope that somebody may be checking it even weekly, especially with the fluctuation of temperatures, to make sure that there aren't any electrical or plumbing issues there. So we can follow up on that as well.
Madam President, I would just like to add that I am planning to speak with Kathleen Crowther of the Cleveland Restoration Society tomorrow on the phone about possible uses of the Grange for the city, and we might consider bringing her in for a committee or a council meeting to discuss her opinion as a expert in uses of historic buildings.
Thank you.
Madam President?
Yes.
I'd like to make a motion to confirm Tom Talcott as our fire department.
We're not finished with this.
Are we in unfinished business?
No, because we still had to address the question that one of the residents asked about the acting mayor. And that will be under old business anyway.
And there isn't an old business. Unfinished business
unfinished
is old business.
Unfinished business or old business is the same.
Right.
So there was a question about the News Herald identifying myself as the acting mayor, and I'd ask the law director to address that, please.
Sure. Under Article 2, Section 2.4 of the Willoughby Hills City Charter, it provides that when the mayor is unable to perform the duties for any his duties for any cause, the council president shall serve as the acting mayor. In Ordinance Number 2017-88, council made a finding based upon the mayor's secretary being the head of the secretary's union that the mayor was unable to perform the duties of his office. And so for the purpose of dealing with the secretary union issue, which was at the time pending in front of CERB and currently is in sort of a flux state, council made the determination that Nancy Fellows, the president of council, should serve as the acting mayor for the purpose of addressing those issues.
Thank you.
Madam President.
As a facilitator of the meeting, at this point, I'm going to move to legislation. The first one is Ordinance Number 2018-3. Vicki, please read the caption.
Madam President, I made a motion during unfinished business, regardless of whether you felt it was in the right segment, and I think I deserve recognition of that. Squashing me just so you don't have to deal with something is, I think, inappropriate and not right.
There's
for the
There's a motion from Councilman Hallam to confirm Acting Chief Talcott. Do I hear a second? I hear no second. There's no motion. legislation, ordinance number 2018-3. Vicki, please read the caption.
An ordinance engaging Richard Harmon as acting fire chief for the city of Willoughby Hills to perform the duties and exercise the authority of the fire chief, of the city's fire chief, and declaring an emergency.
It's the wishes of council.
Madam President.
Councilman Phoebe.
Move to waive three readings of the ordinance 2018-3.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Phoebe and a second from Vice President Pleshnik to waive the three reading rule on ordinance number 2018-3. Is there any discussion on waiving the ordinance?
Three reading rule.
Three reading rule. Thank you. Seeing none, Vicki.
Hullum.
No.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Feebig.
Yes.
The three reading rule on ordinance number 2018-3 has been waived. We have an amendment to section 4 of this ordinance. So I would entertain a motion to, if there's a motion to adopt this ordinance, I would ask that the motion would be to include the amendment to section 4.
Madam President, what is the amendment?
Well, the original draft that was transmitted on Tuesday had a provision that the acting fire chief would be an employee of the city. This clarifies that he would be a 1099 employee, not an employee.
Thank you.
A 1099 service provider, not an employee of the city.
That's right. We read that earlier. So, right. Yes. Madam President, I would move to make the motion to adopt ordinance number 2018-3 as amended.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Phoebe and a second from Vice President Pleshnik to adopt ordinance 2018-3 as amended, as section 4 is amended. Any discussion on the motion? Councilman Hallam?
Yes. I'm not sure how so we're going to have two acting chiefs. Is that what we're doing here? Because we already have an acting fire chief. It's Tom Talcott. So explain to me how we are enacting something when we still have someone in that position.
Sure.
There's a legal issue implicated here. Ordinance number one, ordinance section 141.04 of the codified ordinances provides that the mayor's appointment of an acting chief shall only be effective for 30 days if it receives no confirmation from council. Council has the authority to make the appointment. So by the enactment of this ordinance, Richard Harmon would be become the acting chief of the department.
Madam President, I would just add my concern that on March 23rd, 2017, council enacted, I believe unanimously, and the mayor signed ordinance number 2017-15, which amended section 141.04 of our codified ordinances to clarify how acting chiefs are selected. And whether anyone agrees at this point, whether that is wise or not, nonetheless, council voted, the mayor signed ordinance 2017-15 into law, and nonetheless, when council selected Tim Sarazen as acting fire chief, the mayor simply ignored it, I think in violation of the union contract and the ordinance, did not pay Mr. Sarazen or recognize him in that role, and instead selected another person. And this isn't a commentary on anyone else, but if and to the extent that we don't follow the laws passed by council, particularly the laws passed by council and signed into law by the mayor himself, then everything we do at this dais has no meaning. They're meaningless suggestions. And as a law professor, my first obligation when I take an oath of office is to follow the law. This isn't a commentary on who is a better or worse person to serve in a role, but I will say that I have a serious question of judgment in anyone who chooses to ignore the laws of Willoughby Hills when they're sworn to uphold them. And so I think the point needs to be made that the last person to be appointed acting fire chief according to the laws of Willoughby Hills would be Mr. Sarazen, and I give him an enormous amount of credit for not bringing an unfair labor practice against the city, for not insisting on being paid, for not demanding to be recognized, because he understood the importance of keeping the department together and being unified. But nonetheless, here as the fiduciaries and guardians of the city's law, we are obligated to uphold it. And I don't think it's fair for anyone to personalize these issues and act as though it's about one individual. This is about the law of the city of Willoughby Hills, that we are called not only to create as a council, but to uphold as we take our oath of office. Thank you.
Madam President, I'm fine with all that. Then let's just go ahead and confirm Tom Talcott as the acting fire chief. I switch it out again and create more havoc in the fire department.
We have a motion on the
table.
Madam
President, and the point is well taken that you certainly do have a vote, as we all do, and we're all looking at what our responsibility is to the best of our judgment. Given all the factors that we have to make the call. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for Tom Talcott. As an officer, as a neighbor, as somebody who served in our department, as somebody who served obviously throughout all of Lake County, he's dedicated his time extensively, and that's I appreciate that, sir. You came to make that proclamation. That was very appropriate, and I thank you for that. And I don't believe that anybody on this council would argue when we put forward the motion to compensate Tom for the time that he has spent serving the city in this capacity, even if it was questionable that he should have been in that role by the mayor not following the laws that we had passed. But to emphasize, if we as a council, as an elected body, are not getting respect for the laws that we pass, then they are just meaningless suggestions that we're passing here. And that's not the way our government works. We will do better, we can do better, and we're trying to fix these things going forward. So while everyone does have a vote, and we're voting based on all the information that not everybody in this room has all of the information, and I know that I have to make a difficult decision, as do my colleagues here on council, and you're making it for a variety of reasons, a bundle of reasons. So I ask for guidance. I ask for understanding, and I wanted the opportunity to say that I do respect and appreciate your work here, Tom, and I'm thankful for that. As a resident, as a neighbor, as somebody who cares deeply about our community.
Madam President, I'm just concerned that this ordinance has shown up, and this doesn't seem like something that would come lightly. Something seems like something that would have been discussed amongst council in a public forum of some kind, or at least in an executive session if it was of that ilk. None of that has happened, and so I'm just wondering, how did we reach the point of getting this to this point into an ordinance with no either public nor executive sessions to have a conversation about why we would even consider doing this? I'm just asking you.
Different council members have had different thoughts and suggestions and input that have come to myself, have come to the law director, have come to the clerk. Mm-hmm. Have you provided any of those at any time, Chris?
No, because I would do it in a public forum, not out of the sunshine.
We're not out of the sunshine.
If you're having conversations with this person, then this person, then this person, and coming to the solution of this, that is a sunshine law issue. That's what they told us in the Sunshine Law training.
One council member having a discussion with another council member.
And then another, and then another, and drawing a conclusion is not what the residents want.
That's you're thinking of a case that came out of the Cincinnati School Board, and the violation was a consequence of success. When you hear about that, they are in the public records training and public meeting training. They're talking about a case that came out of the Cincinnati School Board where various members, three at a time, less than a quorum, had round-robin meetings with someone, and there was deliberation between more than two members. As it's been described here, as I understand it, there have been one-on-one conversations with members of council. That's permissible under Ohio law, always has been. So I don't agree with your conclusion that there has been a violation of Ohio sunshine laws.
Well, it's not a conclusion, it's assertion. But I'm seeing more and more of these types of things coming up before this council, and I think, based on comments made by people on this dais in the past several years, that the residents have a right to have to hear what's going on, to be able to comment on what's going on before it gets to this point, because these are significant ordinances that impact our residents, our tax dollars, and I think you should want to know why we're doing the things we're doing and how we reached this point.
I'm very concerned that you're asserting that there's a violation of Ohio law, and if you have evidence that a majority of council has had a prearranged meeting for the purpose of discussing public business, I would ask that you bring it to my attention.
Well,
because
I'm bringing it to your attention now, Mr. Byron.
You don't give me evidence. There's no evidence that you have. You're bringing a bald assertion. And I would ask that if you don't have evidence of the violation of the Ohio Sunshine Law, that you not opine that there has been.
Well, there's certainly some indication.
Madam President, where are we on this? Is there a motion?
We have a motion on the floor to adopt 2018-3 as amended. Vicki?
Hullum?
No.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Plechnik?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes.
Fiebig?
Yes.
Ordinance 2018-3 has been adopted. The next one is Ordinance 2018-4.
An ordinance engaging Bradley Hall the Fourth and the law firm of Bradley Hall the Fourth Esquire LLC to perform the duties and exercise the authority of the city prosecutor as acting city prosecutor, establishing the compensation of the position of acting city prosecutor, and declaring an emergency.
Madam President, I suggest we leave this on first reading.
Next one is Ordinance 2018-5.
An ordinance to approve a memorandum of understanding with the Willoughby Hills Boys League in order to provide sports programs for the youth residents of Willoughby Hills and declaring an emergency.
This ordinance will stay on first reading and will go into Councilman Hallam's Recreation Committee. And, of course, we would invite the Boys League whenever you schedule that committee as well. The next is Ordinance 2018-6.
An ordinance appropriating funds necessary to engage the services of Joseph M. N. Gross and Benish Freelander Copeland and Aronoff LLP as special counsel for the City of Willoughby Hills for the purpose of paying special counsel for performing the services authorized and directed in Ordinance Number 2017-88, ratifying actions taken pursuant to Ordinance Number 2017-88, directing that such appropriation be put in the 2018 appropriation ordinance and declaring an emergency.
Madam President.
Vice President Plechnik.
I would think that this ordinance, if I'm not mistaken, and please correct me if I am, this ordinance was proposed by former Councilwoman Pat Grebbins, which would modify a previous ordinance. Even she expressed at the meeting that she wasn't fully in accord with her own suggestion. I would recommend that we table this ordinance. I think 2017-88 stands on its own, and it's unnecessary to change it. But I'm certainly open to being corrected or hearing thoughts of other council people, but I don't see the need to amend 2017-88.
Would you want to make an emotion? Well, we need, if you want to have a discussion, it has to go in a different order than to table it.
That's why I'm asking if anyone disagrees with my point of view.
Could you elaborate, please?
Well, my understanding is 2018-6 simply set an upper limit of how much could be paid for the legal services of Benesch. And I'm certainly hopeful that there's no need for Benesch to expend any amount of money. I hope that the Secretary's Union stops suing the city. But as long as the lawsuit continues, the city must be defended. And I don't think it's prudent to limit the amount of money that we would spend to defend our city in that lawsuit. You don't go to the doctor and say, save me, unless it goes over $25,000. And if there's millions of dollars at stake in this union contract, as we've been advised that ultimately there are when you consider the negotiations with the other unions, I don't think it's prudent to limit it. And my recollection is Councilwoman Pat Grevens even said she wasn't entirely sure she agreed with her own proposal. So I don't see the need to go forward with this. So I'm not hearing any disagreement. I would make a motion to table ordinance number 2018-6.
Mr. President.
We're still talking about it. So,
Mr. President and Mr. Plechnik, but we have the opportunity, though, to extend the amount at some point.
Right.
And could pass that in an emergency basis, waive three readings. Isn't that correct? Is that
we
the
could,
only
but
point
then the mayor
about?
Could veto it, and that could delay payment and could cause issues if and to the extent that the lawsuit continues. And I think, given that the mayor has been vetoing everything council's put forward at this point, it would be imprudent to put the city at risk where we might have a stoppage of payment to the lawyers defending us against the Secretary Union's lawsuit.
I think it's inappropriate to give a, you know, we're supposed to be watching how much money is spent, and I don't see any issue with us saying, hey, if we're getting close, even if we're getting close, John, if we're getting close to that number, we could always pass it ahead of time to give us plenty of time to override or set aside a veto and plenty of time to not run into that issue. So I don't see this as I think this is a good control to put in place for us to control the expenses on this. And at some point to be able to say, hopefully we don't get to that, have to come to that, but if we came to a point where we said we don't want to spend any more money on this, we could stop that and let the attorneys continue to spend money.
Can we just leave it on first reading?
Okay, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. First reading. Next one is ordinance 2018-7.
An ordinance amending section 186.02 of the codified ordinances of Willoughby Hills to amend certain definitions to correspond with definitions which have been amended in Chapter 718 of the Ohio Revised Code, repealing certain ordinances and declaring an emergency.
And it's my understanding that this would be put us in compliance with the state code and needs to be in effect by January 31st, 2018.
Madam President.
Councilman Phoebe.
Move the council adopt. I'm sorry, move the council waive three readings for ordinance 2018-7.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Phoebe and a second from Vice President Plechnik to waive the three reading rule on ordinance number 2018-7. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Just wanted to ask our finance director, is this definitely, we need to do this quickly, or?
I spoke with the Regional Income Tax Agency, and they recommended that the changes be adopted.
Okay. Thank you. Just want to make sure we're doing it right. Thanks.
Sorry, and I'll give credit to Acting Law Director Byron for pointing that out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam President.
Oh.
And the reason for waiving that has been well stated already, and I think it is prudent that we pass this right away, so I'll be supportive of this.
Vicki.
Hallam.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Hismo.
Yes.
Plechnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Hebig.
Yes.
The three-reading rule has been waived on ordinance 2018-7.
Madam President.
Councilman Phoebe.
Motion to adopt ordinance 2018-7.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Phoebe and a second from Vice President Plechnik to adopt ordinance 2018-7. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, just for clarification, the reason this is being passed is because we want to make our municipal ordinances consistent with state law. Is that correct?
That's
Mr.
Correct.
Byron?
And I notice on the paper version that I have in front of me that the red line is not showing up on the paper version. I think it's showing up online.
I did yours in black and white. I'm sorry.
Madam President, it has a strike through, but it's not in red.
But you're not seeing red line.
Oh, okay.
So and you can see the difference in the printing under the definition of net profit. So you can see that's where most of the changes are.
Oh, this one here?
Yes, there it is. Yes, online. It's in red.
Yeah.
And I'm not a tax lawyer, unlike some people in the room, and my eyes glaze over when I read it.
So, fortunately,
Rita's on board with the changes. We're good.
Madam President, that's why I think a big monitor over here, 50-inch, 55-inch, would be really good. We can get it in color. We could see it. And we could read through it, every word about net profit and LLCs and subchapter S corporations and how that affects us.
Saving money on color printing, Steve.
Sorry. That's okay. We have a motion on the floor to adopt Ordinance 2018-7. Vicki?
Hullum.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Plushnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Ordinance 2018-7 has been adopted. The next one is Resolution 2018-1.
A resolution acknowledging Willoughby Eastlake School of Innovation as one of four schools throughout the state to receive the All-A Award.
Madam President.
Vice President Plushnik.
Motion to waive the three-reading rule on Resolution Number 2018-1.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Plushnik and a second from Councilwoman Micah to waive the three-reading rule on Resolution Number 2018-1. Is there any discussion on the motion? Vicki?
Hullum.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Plushnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
The three-reading rule on Resolution Number 2018-1 has been waived.
Madam President.
Vice President Plushnik.
Motion to adopt Resolution Number 2018-1.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Plushnik and a second from Councilwoman Micah to adopt Resolution Number 2018-1. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President.
Yes.
This is for the Willoughby's Lake School of Innovation right down the street. It's one of four schools throughout the state to receive that award, so we're very proud of that school right here. And getting the opportunity to pass a resolution for that is wonderful, and thank you for bringing this to our attention.
You're welcome. Vicki?
Hullum.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Plushnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Resolution 2018-1 has been adopted. The next one is Resolution Number 2018-2.
A resolution recognizing Willoughby Hills Police Sergeant Matthew Nagley. On his achievement of graduation from the FBI National Academy.
Madam President.
Vice President Plushnik.
Motion to waive the three-reading rule on Resolution Number 2018-2.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Plushnik and a second from Councilwoman Pismo to waive the three-reading rule on Resolution 2018-2. Is there any discussion on the motion? Vicki?
Hullum.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Plushnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
The three-reading rule on Resolution 2018-2 has been waived.
Madam President.
Vice President Plushnik.
Motion to adopt Resolution Number 2018-2.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Plushnik and a second from Councilwoman Pismo to adopt Resolution Number 2018-2. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President. We're all very proud of Willoughby Hills Police Sergeant Matt Nagali on his accomplishment with only 221 other officers around the nation that go to Quantico for this session. It's really quite challenging. There's quite a bit of leadership that's involved with this, physically challenging, mentally challenging, and we're all very proud of him. So it's a great accomplishment that he was willing to step up and do this. And we did help with his with the funding of this, but we certainly get a lot more in return than we spent, that's for sure.
Thank you. Vicki?
Hullum.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Plushnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Resolution Number 2018-2 has been adopted. Now I'd like to move back to unfinished business. Mr. Hullum, do you have a motion?
You made the motion and that wasn't seconded. So
it's under unfinished business. If you'd like to,
since we are in unfinished business, I would like to ask Councilman Fiebig and I both asked about creating a resolution for Councilman Biro. I'm just wondering where we stand on creating that resolution for his years of service.
Madam President.
Yes.
It's unfortunate, but between that time, council learned that Mr. Biro had made a contribution to the infamous attack pack, Citizens for True Public Service, which made absolutely untruthful allegations about Councilman Fiebig, Council President Fellows, Council generally, Laura Lenz, a former member of our Recreation Commission, her son, who was a minor at the time, myself. It was very concerning to see that he would support something that despicable. And while I'm grateful to Councilman Biro for the time he gave our city, I personally could not be supportive of someone who would put money towards an allegation that Councilman Fiebig were under investigation for breaking the law, when in fact Councilman Fiebig has never been under investigation for breaking any law. And anyone affiliated with that endeavor should be genuinely ashamed and should do some soul searching and find their peace with God on the issue, because truthfully, I have so much respect for you, Councilman Fiebig. I have so much respect for Laura Lenz. I have so much respect for the people who are maligned and done so in a way that, frankly, I think was could have been the subject of a lawsuit, and it really states to your character that you let it roll off your shoulders. But that kind of behavior can't be honored, because Willoughby Hills has been mired in this negativity for too long. We need to move forward positively. And when someone crosses that line in a way that absolutely cannot be condoned, they can't be praised for it. Thank you.
Madam President, while I can understand and echo Councilman Plechnik's comments, and as somebody who is currently being sued not only by my mayor but my former law director, nonetheless, politics and campaign mode is a dirty business. It's very hurtful. A lot of lies are thrown around. I'd like to just state that I am able to put that aside just to honor somebody who did give a lot of years to this council. I see it as a not a totally separate issue, but I believe that we can go forward in good faith and wouldn't cost us anything, wouldn't hurt us to recognize Councilman Biro for his years of service. Having only served 2 years, I know how difficult it is, and I have my greatest admiration for all of you sitting here that have served on council in Willoughby Hills for a long time. Thank you.
I'd entertain a motion to confirm Acting Fire Chief Tom Telcott to Fire Chief.
So moved.
Second. It's been advised by the law director that we vote on this.
I just would like to ask, are we going to put ourselves in conflict with another ordinance by voting on this?
No, the council would have the authority at any time to confirm someone appointed by the mayor for fire chief, and the duties of the acting fire chief at that point would end. You have in front of you an appointment that should be disposed of one way or the other.
Mr. Byron, can we table this motion and investigate the source and double-check the payment and the salary and make sure that all that is in place?
Council
as well?
Can table any matter that's before it for any reason.
That's already been clarified. If you want me to share, I will.
And, Madam President, do we need to bring this up as a matter of law to properly pay Mr. Talcott for his time already served? Is it anything to do with that?
And I'll pass the gavel so I can make a comment on this. The finance director has been asked what Mr. Talcott's being paid. It's public knowledge, so I don't, I'm not sharing anything that's confidential. Our charter indicates that the mayor recommends wages for positions, and that council fixes it or sets those wages. The wages that Mr. Talcott has been getting are aligned with a union amount. When he was the assistant chief, he was not in the union. As the acting chief, he is not in the union. The dollar value was taken from a lieutenant's pay from the union. with a bonus for being in charge. So currently his pay has been approximately $87,500 a year with benefits. The ordinance that was just passed by council for us to legislatively place Richard Harmon as the acting position as a part-time interim position will be at $70,000 a year and no benefits, except for, I think, a $1,000 one-time uniform allowance. The payment that Mr. Telcott's been getting is unlawful. It has never been fixed by this council from day one.
Madam President, as I've said before, my concern here is simply following the law. When I was first sworn into this council and I had concerns about conflicts of interest and contracts with council people, I said I wanted to follow the law. It was never personal with respect to the people who were involved. I didn't know the people involved until I was on council. It's not personal now as I look at one individual or another who's looking to serve as fire chief for the city of Willoughby Hills, but for me, it's critical that any individual who puts their hat forward for any position with Willoughby Hills, from a part-time monitor in the community center to one of our chiefs, has an absolute respect for the law as passed by council. As Councilman Fiebig said, what we do here are not meaningless suggestions. They are the law that must be followed. And so I think it's important for our fire department to have a reset and for our city government to have a reset where we all acknowledge that the law is the law. It's not about me. It's not about an ex-council person. It's not about many different applicants who I admire greatly who applied to be fire chief of Willoughby Hills in several rounds. We've had many different chiefs. It is about following the law, and I think that we need a period of time where we can get our fire department back on track with people who have always followed our law and move forward. And that doesn't mean we shouldn't have a full search for fire chief later. In fact, I think we need to have a full search for fire chief later. But right here, right now, we need to follow the law. And anyone who disagrees with that isn't someone who can be reasoned with, because if we don't have the rule of law, we have nothing as a society.
It appears that some of our audience disagrees with that, Vice President Pleshnik. We are not in a public portion, sir. Sorry.
So, Madam President.
I'll ask, what law has Tom Talcott broken?
He's being paid illegally, and he was never confirmed by this council to be the chief.
So he's breaking the law?
He's never been paid legally, and he's never been confirmed by this council, which is our charter, which is the law.
He didn't break the law.
Then talk to your mayor. I have a motion on the table from Councilman Hallam. It's been recommended that we vote on. I need a second.
I'll second.
I have a second from Mr. Fiebig. Discussion, I think, has been done. Vicki?
I'm sorry.
This is to confirm Tom Telcott is the fire chief.
Okay. Hallam?
100% yes.
Micah?
No.
Pismo?
No.
Pleshnik?
No.
Fellows?
No.
Fiebig?
No.
Motion fails. The other new business, is there any other unfinished business?
I'd like to make a motion pursuant to Charter Section 934 that Council directs the Mayor to remove Michael Germano from the office of Willoughby Hills City Prosecutor for misfeasance and malfeasance in office, per the Charter Section 932, Subsection 1, and in violation of his oath of office per Charter Section 932, Subsection 6, by failing to recognize the validity of laws of the City of Willoughby Hills and allowing his law firm to take a position adverse to the members of the Willoughby Hills City Government, and directing our acting law director to prepare the complaint and charges if the mayor fails to remove Michael Germano by close of business Friday, February 2nd, for presentation at the February 8th council meeting to set the charter required hearing.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Fiebig and a second from Councilwoman Pismo to remove Michael Germano as the city prosecutor. Any discussion on the motion?
It's
To request the mayor.
To request the mayor to remove Michael Germano as prosecutor. Mr. Hallam.
I just want to be clear that I understand what the concerns are. This is concerning that the mayor appointed Mr. Germano as the acting law director in conflict of what we appointed as counsel? Is that what his...
Madam Chair, not specifically. It's to matters of our acting law director pointing out that he is holding himself out as a law director and violation of his oath of office to swear to uphold the laws of the city of Willoughby Hills, and 2017-70 was legally and lawfully passed by this council, and an override was also set down.
Well, I guess I'll just ask Mr. Byron. Does regardless
Chris,
of that...
can you just ask
sorry,
for the chair,
thank you.
Please?
Thank you. Does the mayor have the right to appoint an acting law director?
Not in the face of an ordinance which does so.
So the ordinance overrides the charter?
No. The mayor has the authority to appoint the law director. There is no law director. There's a vacancy in that office. The mayor nominated Mr. Germano in January, and council denied the nomination.
Unanimously.
And ordinance number 2017-70 was enacted to put into place legal counsel for the city, who is able to provide counsel to the city government. That's my charge, and my role is to advise all of the city officials. Mr. Germano has held himself out as either acting or interim law director, and that is not in accordance with ordinance number 2017-7.
So one follow-up question. Because my recollection, and I could be mistaken here, but my recollection is that the mayor appointed him acting law director prior to 2017-70 being adopted. In fact, the day before, I think.
That was the assertion. The mayor's administrative action that would be authorized under state law does not survive the passage of an ordinance by the council. So that on the day before the council overrode the veto, it's alleged that he appointed Mr. Germano on that day, and that did not survive the enactment of the ordinance. Under your charter, it provides that the charter controls, and if the charter doesn't speak to the issue, then an ordinance of council will control, and then you get to state law. The mayor's action was under state law. Once council passed an ordinance, the mayor's action was done. It was set aside.
Okay.
I have a motion on the floor. Any other discussion? Jan, you're asking. So this is to authorize the mayor to
request.
Okay.
Oh, it's written down.
Yeah. I'm just a little stressed.
You?
Yes. I know.
Vicki, you call the roll, please.
Hallam.
No.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Bebig.
Yes.
The motion has passed. No. Any other business? Okay, so we have a couple things for new business. There's been a recommendation for a resolution for Attorney General Mike DeWine, which we'll work on. The other is that council will now follow the appropriate steps to appoint a new council person to fulfill Pat Grebbins' position that she's resigned. Any other business?
Madam President, could we prepare a resolution to honor officers Craig Anderson and Corey Planasek, for their award that they shall receive at the Blue Coats of Lake County meeting next month?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes, so with the resignation of Councilwoman Grevens, the clerk will advertise for the council position for District 4.
Madam President, do we need to make a motion to authorize the expenditure? No. Okay, thank you.
That's information.
Right. Okay.
For the good of the order, the good of the community.
Madam President, if you'd indulge me for a moment, I was very saddened to hear that one of the longest-serving staffers at Cleveland State University passed away on January 22nd when I served as interim associate dean. Diane Cioloff reported directly to me. She called in sick on Friday and unfortunately passed away this January 22nd, a resident of Willowick. Diane Cioloff is the daughter of the late Frank Olaf Jr. and Lillian, sister of Linda Mayer, aunt and great aunt of many. She was in charge of petitions, grade disputes, and most of the graduation requirements for our students. So any of you who've graduated from Cleveland State University probably benefited from Diane's hard work, even though you might not have seen her on the graduation stage or teaching in a class. I just wanted to give my condolences to her family and to say thank you, Diane. Cleveland State University and everyone who graduated from Cleveland State, including our residents here in Willoughby Hills, is grateful for your many, many years of service.
Thank you, John.
I'd like to offer condolences to Gloria Majeski and her family on the passing of Gloria's mother.
I would echo that. Thank you. Yeah.
Anyone else? Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Fiebig and a second from Councilman Hallam to adjourn. There's no discussion on adjournment. Vicki, please call the roll.
Hallam.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Meeting's adjourned at 8:32. Thank you, everybody.